Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Today we're talking about the silent killer, and that's a scary title.
It is a scary title. You know, killer's bad enough, but a silent killer is like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is the silent killer that we're going to talk about?
High blood pressure.
Ah. All right. High blood pressure.
Yes.
You're hearing more and more people going on blood pressure medicine.
It is. It's a major concern, has been one of the major emphasis in healthcare, just how blood pressure is just leading to so many deaths. It's a contributor to cardiovascular disease. It's a contributor to stroke. It's a contributor to kidney disease. And those are in the top killers. Mm. So, you know, as you're looking at that, those are the high blood pressure is just a major factor in how quickly you'll die. So getting the high blood pressure under control is one of the major emphasis of insurance companies right now.
Mm-hmm.
For the healthcare professionals, it's one of the top ones that we need to deal with. So it's something that there's a major push. One of the markers on success in a doctor's office hospital is how well they control blood pressure. So there's a tremendous amount of push on that, and there's been a dramatic increase in the amount and the number of medications sold on that. So major issue, and something that we all need to be aware of, and that's the whole thing of a silent killer is one of the things is it sneaks up on you.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what is considered high blood pressure?
Well, anything, if you're talking about what normal is, normal blood pressure is 120 over 80.
Mm-hmm.
When they consider that you are getting into pre-hypertension,
mm-hmm.
it's when you, once you get over 120, so 120 to 139 is a pre-hypertensive state, and 80 to 89 is also considered a pre-hypertensive state. Anything is considered high if it's over 140 over 90.
Mm-hmm.
And the upper number is the systolic number, which is what your number is when your heart contracts.
Okay.
And then the lower number is diastolic, when the heart goes into relaxation. So those are the two numbers that you look at. And the one that is actually the most important is the diastolic. What
the
they would consider
number.
The bottom number.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually shows the amount of stress on your circulatory system when you're even at rest.
Mm.
So that's the most important number.
And what did that number need to be?
90.
90, okay.
90 or below.
Uh-huh.
Stage 1 hypertension is a systolic of 140 to 159 and diastolic of 90 to 99. Stage 2 hypertension, when you're really at risk, is any blood systolic that's over 160 and diastolic that's over 100.
That's stage 2.
That's stage 2.
So these stages are, what would you call them, just when you need to start?
Well, you know, that's that
treatment.
Would be, yeah, if we're looking at those, you know, how aggressively we treat
okay.
is very much dependent on what stage they're in.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to look at risk versus, you know, risk versus benefit.
Okay. Got it.
So risk versus benefit and any type of a treatment, and you need to be much more aggressive when you're talking about a stage 2.
More aggressive stage 2. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Interesting. So why does high blood pressure kill?
High blood pressure is the contributing factor to heart attacks,
mm-hmm.
Congestive heart failure. It also leads to strokes and also to kidney failure, which are all within the top five of the killers. Cardiovascular disease, of course, is the number one, and stroke is number four. So, you know, those are add up, and that's a huge number of people that actually die from cardiovascular. The hypertension has been said to contribute to 1,000 deaths a day.
Wow. 1,000 deaths a day.
1,000 deaths
hypertension.
A day. The hypertension.
Wow.
Which is a very alarming number.
Right.
So if we could control hypertension, then we could very well see 1,000 people die less a day.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a red flag, right?
It is.
To other diseases.
And one of the things is, you know, there are some signs that can kind of occur with hypertension, but most people do not have any signs.
Mm-hmm.
So only about 5% have, you know, obvious signs that they have hypertension. 95% of the people who have hypertension have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the symptom-wise, you know, so unless you're having your blood pressure checked on a regular basis, you don't know if you have hypertension or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things why they said hypertension is, you know, if you go into your doctor, you should be checking your blood pressure.
Right.
And
it's part of the vitals.
It's just part of the vitals that you're looking at.
I know, and more people are taking it at home.
Sure.
You know, to check it. And that's important.
Well, I had a dentist once that always checked everyone's blood pressure because he had
had the dental office.
The dental office, because he himself had wound up with a, you know, he had just gone in for some type of a screening, and they checked his blood pressure, and he said, "Wow, you know, I didn't have any idea, and here I am, a healthcare professional."
You know, dentists don't take vitals or blood pressure.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's unusual, but
I mean,
he felt that it saved his life,
right?
And so every opportunity that we have, and he says it's a quick type of thing,
right?
Easy to do, and you know, every chance, because he says it's amazing how many of my dental patients have not been to see their doctor in 2 years.
But they've seen the dentist.
But they've seen the dentist. So he said, why shouldn't we be screening on that?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's part of our, of course, our exams, re-exams, always is to check on the blood pressure.
I mean, you just said something that was just amazing, that people keep their, you know, their regular appointments with their dentist.
Yes.
And dentist offices are so good at that.
Yes,
making sure you follow up.
Yes.
And yet, they might not have an appointment to have
their
the rest of their body checked.
Right, right. The dental profession has done a very, very good job on preventive care and making sure that people keep up on their appointments and keep their dental health up.
Yeah.
It used to be that, well, getting off subject, but it used to be that you only went in when you felt like you had a problem for your dentist.
Yeah.
But they were able to get the idea across of preventive dentistry. And that's really what we need to be doing within, you know, our offices.
Yeah, all other physicians could really learn from that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know it takes some effort.
And we do that here.
We try to, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how common is high blood pressure? What are the stats?
Well, about a third of all adults have hypertension. And let me just give you sort of the ages and what percentage of people have hypertension.
Wow.
So from 20 to 34, about 11% of men and about 7% of women have hypertension.
That's young.
20 to 34,
that's
yes.
Young.
And that's a bad sign. If you have hypertension at that point, your chances of living a long and healthy life are pretty slim. So getting that under control is very, the younger you start, the worse the problems are. 35 to 44, 25% of men and 19% of women. 45 to 54, it's 37% of men and 35% of women. 55 to 64, it's 54% of men and 53% of women. So it starts to narrow at that age. But you're talking about over 50% of both between 55 and 64. That's half have hypertension.
Uh-huh.
Once they get to 65 to 74, 64% of men and 69% of women. So women start to, as they get older, overtake men on how often they have hypertension. And then 75 and over, it's 66% of men and almost 79% of women have hypertension.
Do you have a theory on that? I mean, so women as they
start
age,
to get, yes.
Wow.
Their hypertension, and they're not completely sure.
Uh-huh.
Now, also, according to race, there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
The average of the of Caucasians is about a third, both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Hispanics have a little bit lower rate. They're about, for men, 28%. Women about 29%. So if you're Hispanic heritage, you have less of a chance of having hypertension. But African-American is really where hypertension is just such a major killer.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that we deal with and really emphasize with our African-American population,
mm-hmm.
is really to be up on their blood pressure and have that checked on a regular basis, because it's 43% of men and 46%
wow.
of women
mm-hmm.
from 20 on up have hypertension. And when
so
you get into the older population, it's almost 100%.
Wow.
So hypertension is a major, major killer in the African-American community.
Wow. So what are risk factors for high blood pressure?
High blood pressure have several risk factors. One is, of course, diet mm-hmm. plays a big role. The amount of table salt that goes into your diet. Also, the obesity
mm-hmm.
plays a big role. Diabetes is a big factor. Genetics,
mm-hmm.
smoking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we could get people just to quit smoking, a lot of hypertension would go away.
And that, I wonder if that has to do with the younger population. You know, those percentages were alarming to me for hypertension for the younger population.
Yes, smoking is probably,
and I know that's increasing,
one of the biggest risk factors. And one of the main reasons that smoking affects that is it produces a tremendous number of free radicals.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into free radicals, then you start to get into arterial and atherosclerosis, because
mm-hmm.
it damages the arteries.
And you're starting that young.
And you're starting that young, and it takes quite a bit to get that reversed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's weight, it's diabetes, it's genetics, it's smoking,
mm-hmm.
Alcohol consumption also plays a big role.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at all those different types of things, caffeine intake is always something to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at all those different types of factors and trying to cut down on your risk is something that
and those are all things
we should be working on.
Things that we can work on and take responsibility for.
That's things that
take responsibility for our health. When we come back, we're going to talk about treatments for high blood pressure.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, the Prather Practice now offers counseling services. Why did you decide to add that to your practice?
It's something that I always knew was necessary, was looking forward to the right person coming in. You know, if you have an illness going on, that can be very emotionally devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, the emotions and some of the things that happen to us can actually lead to some of the health conditions that people experience. We are more than just our spine.
Mm-hmm.
We are more than just our physiology. But also how we think has a huge effect on each one of those different aspects. And those things then also have an effect on our thinking. Mm-hmm. So incorporating the whole aspect of counseling into the office is just a very natural outgrowth in us becoming an integrated and a total holistic type of a practice. Mm-hmm. So this was something that I, in my original thoughts 30 years ago of getting into my practice, having this aspect was a very important part of it, mm-hmm. and we are now doing it. We are a holistic practice, mm-hmm. and if you don't understand the emotional aspect, if you don't understand the patterns that we have, then you can't really get to the complete healing of the patient. Oftentimes we can get a release in the physical body and it creates some emotional tension. The emotional tension will cause tension within the body. So getting down to that root, and we have so many different types of layers that can start to accumulate. And we see the evidence of the issues in people's body that creates disease in them. The underlying problem can be an emotional issue, past experiences, past habits, and coping mechanisms that we can have. We see oftentimes people have an injury, and their whole body has kind of shifted to compensate for that injury. Mm-hmm. Same thing on an emotional type of level. People have had injuries and they've had compensations. And getting through those compensations to get to the injury is an ongoing type of process that a skilled counselor has to be able to find out, just like we do that on a physical level. And the physical and the emotional are very, very connected. As you can approach it from both angles, mm-hmm. I think we're going to get a far, far better results than we could separate.
Yeah, and I know we already are.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
And I'm feeling good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
We're talking today about the silent killer, hypertension. And Dr. Prather, I am learning a lot. And I'm going to go get my blood pressure taken here as soon as I'm done here. But I usually 120 over 80 every time, and yeah. You are too.
Yeah, I'm 120 over 80.
Uh-huh.
61 years old.
Uh-huh.
So I'm, not even in the pre-hypertensive state, which mm-hmm. is really good for my age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's reasons for that.
Right, and we're going to talk about that. Okay. Are there different kinds of high blood pressure?
There are. There is primary hypertension, which is considered more of a gradual type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an accumulation of different types of factors. Secondary hypertension is where you can directly relate that to another cause.
Okay.
Those causes would be a hyperthyroid, some kidney disease, different types of aspects along those lines. If you can identify a single cause, then it's considered secondary hypertension.
Single cause. Okay.
Right. Primary hypertension is the most common, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And explain that again.
Okay.
Primary.
Primary hypertension is... You've gotten some overweight. You've mm-hmm. increased your free radical pathology through smoking, different types of lifestyle mm-hmm. Stress. And so there's a gradual changes that occur in your system where things aren't working well. So it's a cumulative, not one cause, and it's a gradual increase in your blood pressure.
Okay. Well, what are treatments for high blood pressure?
Well, of course, there are quite a few different medications along those lines
mm-hmm.
that you can approach it from. So there is the pharmaceutical route. About 50% of the people who are aware that they have hypertension have it under control through medications.
Okay.
50% have tried medications and they haven't worked. So it's uncontrolled hypertension. Mm-hmm. Which is a big management issue. So it's for the people who are being treated, well, only 50% of the people that have hypertension are aware that they have hypertension.
Okay. Only 50%.
50% are aware that they have hypertension. So 50% of the population doesn't even know it.
Why? Because they're not going to the doctor?
Because they haven't been, yeah, because they haven't had their blood pressure taken.
Uh-huh. Is that more men than women?
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, how did you know?
Because I've been in healthcare for 30 years.
And you're married to one, right?
Yeah.
So of the 50% who are aware that they have hypertension, only 50% have it under control. The other is uncontrolled hypertension, which, of course, is a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at how to work with those other 50% and work with the others, because when you're talking about medications, there are risks versus benefits, and of course, all pharmaceuticals, if they don't have a risk, mm-hmm. what they would consider side effects or creating diseases, then they couldn't be called pharmaceuticals. Then they are functional medicine, not pharmaceutical disease mm-hmm. care. So there are risks that are involved with pharmaceuticals.
Well, let's talk about, are there problems with medical treatment for high blood pressure?
Yes, one of the things is oftentimes you can start to get problems with the blood pressure medicine that starts to occur. One of the major ones is that it wears out the kidneys. Mm-hmm. Because one of the major ways that you're trying to work with blood pressure medicine is to force the kidneys to work harder, because it's the kidneys are the big controlling factor on your blood pressure.
So if your kidneys, it could be cart before the horse, could, if you're having a problem with your kidneys, can that cause high blood pressure?
70% of all blood pressure problems, 70% of the contribution to blood pressure problems comes from the kidneys. So as we are looking functionally mm-hmm. on how to help the patient, the biggest success is when we can get the kidneys working better. The main thing that we're looking at, the gold standard on the on kidney function, is glomerular filtration rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's how well does your kidneys filter. So you figure that out mathematically between the blood urea nitrogen and the creatinine. And that measurement is the probably the biggest indication, not the only contributing factor, but one of the major contributing factors to hypertension.
Interesting.
So if you are in, you start to get in considered disease state if you go below 60 mm-hmm. on your glomerular filtration rate, but you would really like your glomerular filtration rate to be 85 or above.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, then you can maintain, you have a much, much, much better chance of keeping your blood pressure in a good shape.
Right. And so that, you see, you can get that through blood work, correct?
Through blood work. And the biggest thing that we can see functionally that we can really make a difference with is getting that glomerular filtration rate improved mm-hmm. through functional medicine really makes a big difference in people's blood pressure.
Okay. Well, can structure function care be effective for high blood pressure?
Yes. Structure function care, and of course, let me define what structure function care is and
okay.
disease care.
Mm-hmm.
Structure function care is where you bring the body back into homeostasis. Which homeostasis is the definition of health. Homeostasis is the balance in the body. You become, an example is the kidneys. Once you start going below 85 on your glomerular filtration rate, your kidneys aren't working up to par.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can help the kidneys to work better, improve the glomerular filtration rate, then we can improve the blood pressure. Other things that can be contributing factors, and there's a whole host of them, liver. The body raises, one of the things that we need to understand on the how the body works is, why does the body raise the blood pressure? Because mm-hmm. it needs more blood.
Ah,
so
that's
if
a good question to ask.
Right. So as we are looking at a patient, we're saying, well, why is the body raising up the blood pressure?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Where does it need more blood? So if your kidneys aren't filtering up to par. Mm-hmm. The body says, hey, we need better filtration. If I force the blood through faster and harder, mm-hmm. I can filter the blood better. Also, you can have a congested liver, mm-hmm. or the liver's not working right. So the body increases the blood flow to try to help the liver to function better. Your heart's not getting enough oxygen, so it increases the blood pressure to try to get more oxygen to the heart, or to the brain, mm-hmm. or to the lungs. So infection raises up blood pressure. Why? Because you're trying to get the blood flow going better. Mm-hmm. The controlling factors, the two controlling factors for the blood pressure that tells the blood pressure how to work is the nervous system and the endocrine system. So the kidneys have a feedback loop that tell the body how to whether to raise blood pressure or not. And it works through the adrenals, through the endocrine system, the nervous system. Mm-hmm. So always looking, first off, does the nervous system and the endocrine system, the hormones, working properly? Mm-hmm. And then two, if they are working properly, then what organ system or what system is at fault for the body to have the blood pressure to raise?
Interesting.
So, I mean, one of the things that's fascinating is that chiropractic has several clinical studies to show to be extremely effective in lowering blood pressure.
Well, you said the two systems, nervous system, which
correct
chiropractic has a lot to do with, a big impact on.
Right. There was a study that showed that an atlas adjustment had a greater percentage of effect on blood pressure than blood pressure medicine.
Wow.
In balancing.
And when you say atlas, it's the first vertebrae.
First vertebrae
mm-hmm. up in the upper cervical adjustment.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So it's a very scientific type of approach. Now, mm-hmm. there are times if someone comes into our office and they have a diastolic of 60 and a 110, mm-hmm. Systolic and then a diastolic of 110, mm-hmm. We need to get that under control now.
Right.
So we put them on blood pressure medicine. Mm-hmm. But then we try to also approach this functionally mm-hmm. and structurally mm-hmm. to see what things we can do because, as we've said, all pharmaceuticals also have negative effects. Again, if they didn't have negative effects on the body, they wouldn't be considered pharmaceuticals. So what we do is we get those, try to get them off the pharmaceuticals as quickly as possible.
Interesting. So how does chiropractic care help with high blood pressure?
Well, the nervous system, if you have the nervous system that's overexcited, mm-hmm. if it's not functioning properly and you're not getting the signals, because the nervous system is one of the major controlling aspects of hypertension. Mm-hmm. So one of the major areas that you look at is the upper cervical and then also the nerves that go to the kidneys and adrenals.
Interesting.
And as we've adjusted those, we have seen immediate changes in blood pressure, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So not that that's 100% along the line.
Right.
But that is something that should be eliminated as a possible contributing factor to hypertension.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. When we come back, more on structure, function, care, and treatment for high blood pressure.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
One trainer put me on the no-carb, the Atkins. They said after a week you won't have any carb cravings. I felt lied to. I had cravings. When you drive by a bakery and you jump out of a moving vehicle, that's a craving. I had hallucinations. I thought Dr. Phil was on my front lawn. John, come out here and exercise. You can't be big if your lifestyle won't allow it. Get off my lawn! I let you have donuts. Every time the doorbell rang, I thought it was pizza. Come to save me.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at DTSweightLossCenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. We're talking today about the silent killer, hypertension. And Dr. Prather, before we went to break, we were talking about structure function care, which we do here at the Prather Practice, and talking about the different type of treatments we have. Talked about how chiropractic care can help with high blood pressure. How about acupuncture?
Acupuncture, again, has been shown to have a very effective results on hypertension. Mm-hmm. A matter of fact, if someone's in a crisis with acupuncture, with hypertension, we can oftentimes do certain points on and get it down immediately. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things we always look at is how effective and should acupuncture be used for hypertension. And yes, it's extremely effective.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. How effective are herbals?
Herbals. There's been quite a bit of research on herbals for hypertension and with some excellent results. Mm-hmm. There are some Ayurvedic and Chinese medicines that have been used for thousands of years for high blood pressure. There's also simple garlic and onion have mm-hmm. been proven to be very good on taking down hypertension. Hawthorn is something that has been used for an awfully long time for hypertension. So those are all things that can be done. Snake root is also something that we use for hypertension.
Snake root.
Mm-hmm. Snake root. Yeah. So, you know, when we're talking about hypertension, we have probably about 20 different herbals mm-hmm. that have been shown to be extremely effective for hypertension that can be used. One of the nice things about these particular products is that they are kidney strengtheners. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you're talking about the results of the herbals, you have far less negative effects than if you were using pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. So that's why herbals can be really effective.
Interesting. How about homeopathy?
Homeopathy. Now, for homeopathy, we have about 40 different products that mm-hmm. Can be used.
And what's nice is we individualize.
Correct.
Which one specifically will help you?
And we can test to see which products are going to work. So when you're talking about pharmaceutical choices for hypertension, mm-hmm. there are certain ones that are, you know, very effective and different options along those lines. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to have even further options. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I've had people who came in to our office. I had one guy coming in, was on four different drugs for hypertension. Four different drugs for hypertension, mm-hmm. and it was still going up. It wasn't even staying the same. It was still going up.
So they're
going
to add a fifth one?
Well, you know, they were kind of running out of options. Mm-hmm. You know, basically after four, you can't really add anything else, and they had tried several different combinations on that. And we were able, through a combination of the adjustment acupuncture, some herbals, homeopathics, and vitamins and minerals, able to get it to the point where we started, where first be able to get it under control, then we were able to start to cut down on his pharmaceuticals, and we were able to, with the products that we were giving him, just have one blood pressure med.
Brought him down from 4 to 1.
Four to one, and his blood pressure was working at that point. So, you know, the whole thing that we add with the structure function is it gives us many more options besides pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are absolutely wonderful. I believe them in very strongly. But we have the best disease care in the world and the most money spent in the world. But our results are awful. Nobody disagrees with that. The healthcare in America, the health of America is awful. Even though we have the best disease care in the world, what are we missing?
Well, how can we have the best disease care in the world?
Because we're missing structure function care.
Care.
The rest of the world, if you're looking at Europe, 40% of all prescriptions are homeopathic.
40%.
40%. If you're in India and in the rest of the world, they use structure function care in conjunction with the disease care. The way to think about what should be the split on how much treatment is done is 80% of all care should be structure function care. 20% should be disease care. That's where you get the optimal results. It's not that we need to improve our disease care. No one disagrees that we have the absolutely best disease care in the entire world. And if people are looking for disease care, they come to America. And rightly so. We are horrible and repressive towards our structure function care.
And behind.
We have a tremendous amount of restrictions, negative information that is put out on structure function care, and we're not utilizing it to the best ability. It's amazing how misinformed the medical doctors are on and the efficacy of structure function care.
Well, they don't get it in medical school.
They're taught that it doesn't work, it's not ethical to do, and it makes no sense in a scientific standpoint that you would not be trying to bring the body back into homeostasis. Dr. Guyton wrote the physiological textbook for medical doctors. He's absolutely famous. Everyone studied Guyton's physiology. He absolutely agreed. He said, you know, when they were asking him about different types of treatments, he says, well, you know, I'm not really believe that strongly that disease care should be the primary care. He says it's got its place, but really we should be working on homeostasis care, structure function care, to really get the results. And he says, I am more of a structure function doctor in my belief system. Now, these are the top guys who write the textbooks for medical doctors. But the medical doctors on a street level are not taught that and are not instructed on how to look along those lines, because it makes absolutely no scientific sense that you would not try to balance out the body to get healthy. Makes absolutely no sense why you would just be doing treating disease care. And disease care is symptom-based, and the pharmaceuticals are never intended to make you healthier. Let me repeat that. Pharmaceuticals are not intended to make you healthier. They are to control the symptomatology. Now, are they important? Absolutely. You know, I think the world of pharmaceuticals. But there, you can't ask a football to be a very good basketball player. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't use a football to play basketball. So we need the balance in there. And that's what we're trying to get across to other doctors, the population, that we shouldn't be looking for disease care to do what it's not intended to do.
Right.
Because it's not going to do it, because it's not, it goes against the whole definition of what it is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can even see it in we're discussing hypertension.
Sure.
Right.
The failures that are involved with the treatment of hypertension.
And the percentages are going up and up.
Right. So, you know, the answer is to have the disease care there, but to also add the structure function and integrate the two. Mm-hmm. And that's what we keep on harping on.
And that's what we do here at the Prather Practice.
And that's what we do here at the Prather Practice.
Yeah. So if prescription medicine, we have an MD work with us, a nurse practitioner. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. And the first means of treatment should always be structure function first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I have a goal in my life never to be on prescription medicine.
Sure.
You know, that's just a goal of mine. And
if you take care of yourself, you know, your chances are much, much better.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking about the structure, function, care, and treatments for hypertension. We talked about the benefits of chiropractic care, acupuncture, herbals, homeopathy. What about vitamins and minerals?
Very strong correlation between vitamins and minerals and hypertension. Vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin D, which a lot of us are deficient on, have a direct results on hypertension. So looking at those. Minerals, the calcium, magnesium, looking at those as something that's very necessary. One of the major medicines that they use is beta blockers, and that has to do with the calcium, magnesium ratios on that. So as you can adjust those, you can make a very definite difference. So minerals are absolutely critical. So you're looking at calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, the potassium, sodium balance is essential. Selenium plays a big role. High copper, zinc ratios all play a big role in whether you have hypertension or not.
Mm-hmm.
We've had patients who had high copper, low zinc. We were able to balance that out and make an immediate difference in their hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
Some people we've added magnesium, some calcium, some both, phosphorus, and we've seen a very big difference along those lines. We've seen high selenium and low selenium actually causing hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at all those different types of aspects, you can see why that's, you know, you have to do some investigating.
Yes.
Because there, hypertension, you know, one of the things that I hear all the time is that I've gone into my doctor and I said, well, why do I have hypertension? And the doctor said, it doesn't matter. We just need to treat it.
Mm-hmm.
It does matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you can understand the cause and you get the cause taken care of, the hypertension will go away. If you just treat the hypertension, that's important because the hypertension causes a tremendous amount of damage, but the blood pressure medicines also cause a tremendous amount of damage.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, hypertension usually causes more damage than the pharmaceuticals, but you want to eliminate both, and then you have the best results.
And get to the root.
Root of the problem.
You just don't want to know why, or take the time to know why, or
correct.
Invest in our health on the why.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to a friend who's my age and, you know, mid-50s, put on blood pressure medicine, you know. I said, do they know why, you know?
Right.
We shouldn't settle for that.
Sure.
Dietary changes, exercise.
Absolutely. Obesity, if you have the body has to work 4 times harder to pump blood through fat than muscle.
Mm.
So obesity, one, just increases the cardiac output, and the more obese you are, the harder the blood pressure has. You know, the harder the higher the blood pressure.
Right.
So fiber plays a big role, how much animal fat you take in, low sugar, salt, all those things play a big role.
Wow, we When we come back, we're going to hear from one of our patients from the Prather practice and talk about his health journey.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. What is ECP therapy?
ECP stands for external counterpulsation therapy. And just to put it into a nutshell, ECP is an aerobic exercise machine. Now you sit there and say, well, why do you need an aerobic exercise machine? It is the number one treatment for cardiovascular disease. If you look at the research and want to find out, well, how do I fix my cardiovascular disease, you know, whatever it might be, always within the scientific literature, aerobic exercise is one of the most proven, most effective means of reversing cardiovascular disease. So, but the problem is I have people who I sit there and I look at them and I say, well, you know, what do I do about this problem that I have, doc? And I said, well, go out and run 5 miles, you know, every day. And of course, they all laugh because you know, it took every effort that they had from going to the waiting room into the exam room,
right?
And they're out of breath. So that didn't work. So what was actually done was develop a machine that actually simulates the effects on the body of aerobic exercise, and that's where ECP comes in. And what occurs with ECP is that there's actually a second heart kind of put into the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the outside, but as the heart goes into relaxation, that's when it actually gets its blood. So what we do is we actually have blood pressure cuffs around the legs. It presses on the legs, and we get a huge amount of blood that goes back up to the heart. And the heart is very regenerative, and you get about 10 times as much oxygen with this particular type of treatment than what you normally would. And you get a regeneration of the heart. You also get a cleaning out of the arteries. And you actually get a huge amount of changes in the whole physiology of the body. So all the benefits of aerobic exercise are actually found in ECP, which are absolutely the number one way that you can be able to reverse cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and many other problems.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. So let it get away.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. For our Restoring Hope segment this week, we now go to Elaine Reisner with another patient success story from the Prather Practice.
Today we are joined by Dave to share his story at the Prather Practice. Dave, what health situation first brought you in here to our practice?
When I first came in here, I was diagnosed with MS 20 years ago, but then currently I was having a lot of knee problems and a lot of knee pain and ankle pain.
And had you tried any other doctors? Had you thought about doing anything else to deal with the pain?
For the pain, I've gone through x-rays and all the ultrasound, and they couldn't find anything wrong. They said, there's nothing wrong with my knees and my legs. And I'm like, I think there is something wrong.
It
still hurts.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, had you tried any other treatment? Had you done anything to help with the pain? Were you just taking a lot of Advil? What were you doing?
A lot of ibuprofen.
Okay, yep. Okay, yeah.
Because they, once they said there was nothing wrong, they were like, they kind of gave up, like, we got nothing for you.
They gave up on you.
Yeah.
Okay, so how did you hear about us? How did you stumble upon the Prather practice?
Interesting. I got in touch with a medical intuitive originally.
Okay.
And she had said that my atlas was out of whack.
Okay.
She said, you got to go somewhere good. You got to go somebody that knows how to do that. She says they don't all do it right.
So right. Yeah.
Did a lot of research then and found that there were only two in the state of Indiana that could adjust your atlas vertebrae correctly. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Prather was in Indianapolis, which is where I live. So that's what brought me here originally.
So here you are.
Here I am.
So kind of share your journey here, what you've been doing, how your progress has been.
It's been quite amazing, actually, on the pain front. Mm-hmm. Everything has gotten so much better. After going through multiple adjustments, acupuncture, physical therapy, I've had massage therapy, I had diathermy, mm-hmm. I've had decompression. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the thing I like about coming here to Prather is that everything's in-house, everything's in one place, whatever you need next,
you're here. You can be around all over the place.
You can be in the building for 4 or 5 hours, which I have been at times.
Sure.
But you're getting everything taken care of.
Yeah.
And they know what the next step is.
Yeah. So what did Dr. Prather determine was wrong with your knees that no one else could determine?
Well, he said the bones were actually not lined up correctly anymore in the knees.
Yeah.
And so he adjusted those quite a few times and got them to where they're hopefully staying where they're supposed to now.
Okay, good. And you're also doing our supplements as well, correct?
I'm doing a lot of supplements, actually, yeah.
Okay.
Because I've had many blood tests and stool tests and that to show me where I'm lacking in certain nutrients.
Which is interesting because a lot of people say, well, I feel pretty good. I don't really need to do a blood panel. And I always say, well, I mean, you think you feel good, but you could feel better. Yeah. So it's always good to figure out, you know, what's going on or, you know, if you have low vitamin D, then you're going to feel fatigued and tired. And so it's good just to get a baseline of where you're at and then what areas we can improve upon, which is good.
They also found out that I had higher levels of mercury. Mm. In my system, so we're doing mercury detox.
And they found that out through the hair analysis?
Okay, yep.
Good. Awesome. And then how has your MS been?
It's been really good.
Okay, good. Knock on wood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was another thing. When I first came in here, I was having a lot of dizziness and that.
Yeah.
Usually related to the MS. And I'm pretty clean on that now.
Good. So awesome.
I'm feeling really good about that part.
Awesome. That's good. You know, it's
right before I came in here, they had me on injections for MS drug for over 10 years.
Oh, gosh.
So right before I came in here, I was having some reactions to that. So they took me off that drug and they wanted to put me on a new drug. And when I read all the stuff and all the side effects, that was another reason I came in here. I was like, let's see what else we can do instead of taking the drugs with the side effects.
Sure. So you're not taking the drugs at all?
Not at all.
Awesome.
Not at all.
Wow.
It'll be a year in March.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've been coming here for a year almost?
No. Oh. That's when I quit taking the drugs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So for someone out there listening that, you know, is maybe dealing with MS or maybe dealing with a pain that no one seems to be able to figure out what's going on, what is some advice that you would give them?
I tell them to come in here, come to the Prather practice and figure it out. A lot of good people in here, a lot of different things they look at. There's no one, it's not like he's just going to do an adjustment and kick you out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different things going on here and it all works together as a unit.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure when you came in, you were hoping that we could help you with your MS, but it was almost like a bonus. I mean, to, you know, tackle your knees, of course, but then also we've been able to improve your MS symptoms, which is great. And, you know, it's, people don't realize all the different things that we can work on at one time.
Right. And that's, like I said, I've been coming here since October. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Dr. Prather, even he said, you won't get the full effects of the MS for 2 years, probably, he says.
Awesome.
So
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Great. Well, hey, thank you for sharing your story. And it's been fun to see you and Carol come in. And we'll continue to walk with you on your journey. We'll see where we can go.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrative practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.